أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء 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 اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المؤمنين والمؤمنات خاصة هذه المريضة المنظورة بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لساقت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم وأما القاسطون أما القاسطون فكانوا لجهنم حطبا صلوات We have been discussing about several less told and less talked about aspects of the concept and belief of the day of resurrection. There are several important points which are necessary for every believer to realize in depth, understand, and adapt himself according to those obligations. So it makes our responsibility to emphasize on those points. We discussed about the fact that the paradise and hell, the realities of Qiyamah, do exist right now, and it would be false for anyone to come up and say that those realities, namely the hell and the heaven, are going to exist tomorrow and do not exist right now. And we already talked about the benefit, the greatest benefit of this discussion is that our behaviors would immediately change as soon as we realize those who are burning, those who find their souls to be under the flames, if they realized this reality, they would not spare a moment to run away from this situation and try to change their behaviors and beliefs according to what is required to enter into the paradise. A person came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and said to him, because we have been listening to so many, you know, to statements that paradise and hell is something that belongs to the day of resurrection only. It has nothing to do with our current existence. So it's not a current existence at all. It does not exist right now. We have been listening to these kinds of statements which are contrary to the teachings of Quran. And we already talked about those evidences in the first speech, which I will not repeat. So the person came to the sixth Imam and said that, "Is'alillah an yudkhilanil jannah." Pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He may send me to the paradise. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said to him, "Antum fil jannah. Fas'alillah an la yukhrajakum minha." You are in the paradise. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to take you out of the paradise. Not to make you leave the paradise. Because, please say salawat. فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهَ أَنْ لَا يُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنْهَا أَنْتُمْ فِي الْجَنَّةِ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهَ أَنْ لَا يُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنْهَا. What a nice statement. Imam said, أَلَسْتُمْ تُكِرُّونَ بِإِمَامَتِنَا أَلَسْتُمْ تُكِرُّونَ بِوَلَايَتِنَا. That was the statement. Don't you believe in our walayat? He said, certainly I do. He said, فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهَ أَنْتُمْ فِي الْجَنَّةِ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهَ أَنْ لَا يُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنْهَا. So you are in the paradise. Ask Allah not to take you out of the paradise. This is the meaning of Jannat. الَّذِي مَنْ أَقَرَّ بِهَا كَانَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Whosoever believes in the paradise, whosoever believes in the walayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, is actually in the paradise. That's the meaning of paradise. What else? Paradise is something which is created for the believers in the walayat of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam. And hellfire is something which is created for those who deny the walayat of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Because the Holy Prophet has said that لو اجتمع الناس على حب علي بن أبي طالب ما خلق الله النار. If people had gathered on the hub of Imam Ali alayhi salam, the real hub, Allah wouldn't have created the hellfire. There was no reason to create the hellfire. And that is the discussion of my speech, the segment of our subject regarding the day of resurrection and some of those intricate details about this belief of Islam, which is one of the most fundamental Islamic beliefs, and the denial of the belief regarding the day of judgment entitles the person to be a kafir, takes him out of the bounds of Islam. So the subject of tonight's speech is about the hellfire, because whenever we talk about a fire, in order for a fire to be ignited, we require two things. No fire can be ignited without those two things. First of all, we require an igniting thing, something that ignites, an igniting force or a flare, a flame that ignites, or something that causes the fire to start, the starter, the igniter. And the second of all, we require the firewood, something that needs to be burnt when the spark comes, something that can catch the spark and start burning. These are the two basic things. You require something that ignites and creates the spark, and then you require something which serves the purpose of a firewood. So that's how it catches the fire, and that's how the fire starts. So when we talk about the hellfire in Islam, in Quran, what is the igniting spark? What is the igniting force of the hellfire, which needs to be understood as well, and that's the subject of my speech tonight. What is the igniting force, and what is the firewood? Quran has announced clearly, we have several verses that talks about the fact that who is about the fire. In one of the verses that I recited in the beginning of my speech, Quran says that أَمَّا الْقَاسِطُونَ فَكَانُوا لِجَهَنَّمَ حَطَبًا. As far as the Qasiteen are concerned, Qasiteen, they are the firewood of the hellfire. كَانُوا لِجَهَنَّمَ حَطَبًا. Hatab means the firewood. Who are the Qasiteen? Qasiteen word has been derived from the word qasd of Arabic. We have two words in Arabic, qasd and qist. Qasd in Arabic means zulm, and qist is a synonym of adl. Although there are no synonyms in any language, specifically Arabic language, which is so deep, our scholars say, although we in our everyday conversations, metaphorically, we do say these words are synonyms, like insan and bashar. For example, we say they are synonyms. But they are not synonyms, because we don't have no synonyms. There are some, you know, details that make these two words different from each other, if you go into the details and the depths. But in everyday conversations, we do say they are synonyms, and they are among the mutaradifat. So, qist and adl are almost mutaradif. Qist means justice. So we have a word called qist, and then we have a word called qasd. Qasd with a zabar, with a fatha on the qaf, it actually means zulm. So qasitun in this verse of Holy Quran refers, is taken from the root word qasd. That means zulm. أَمَّا الْقَاسِتُونَ فَكَانُوا لِجَهَنَّمَا. Remember the discussion, the subject of our discussion tonight. What is the igniting spark? Who are the igniting spark that caused the fire to get ignited? And what is the firewood? Who are the firewood? Because we need these two things, and that's how hellfire will get started. Got started whenever it started. Remember what a prophet has said to Imam Ali alayhi salam, Satuqatilo Al-Qasiteena wal-Annakithina wal-Qasiteena wal-Mariqeen. You will be fighting, in other words, soon after my death, soon after me, you're going to fight the three categories of people. The first are the Nakithin, that means those who betray their bay'at with you, referring to those Talha and Zubair and those people. And they are the Nakithin who betrayed their bay'at and breached their contract and bay'at and endorsement of the government of Imam Ali. So they are called the Nakithin. And the second category the Prophet had prophesied to Imam Ali alayhi salam were the Qasiteen. Again, the same similar word from the Zulm, from the Qasd, the Zalimeen, which Prophet is referring to Muawiyah and his people. They are the Qasiteen, they are the Zalimeen. So that's the second category of people that you are going to fight. And the third are Mariqeen. Mariqeen are the Khawarij, They are out of the bounds of Islam. They are not Muslims. Someone who considers Imam Ali alayhi salam to be a kafir, how can he be a Muslim? So we were talking about the verse of Holy Quran that says, أَمَّا الْقَاسِطُونَ فَكَانُوا لِجَهَنَّمَا حَطَبًا. As far as the qasitin, the zalimeen are concerned, they are the firewood of Jahannam. So clear in the Holy Quran. Anybody and everybody who commits zulm is the firewood of hellfire. Remember how much we have learned from Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam regarding zulm, how much they have been warning us, and I will let you know certain points about zulm as well, because zulm is one of those sins in Islam that receives the fastest ever punishment among all the sins. There is no sin in Islam where the person, the sinner, receives the fastest punishment. Because Imam Ali al-Islam has said, إِنَّ أَعْجَلَ الْأُقُوبَةُ بُأُقُوبَةُ الْبَغْيِ. The fastest of all the punishments is the punishment of zulm. If you do zulm on somebody, you receive the fastest punishment right in this life of this world. And that world, of course, these people would serve, the zalimeen are going to serve as the firewood of the hellfire. But even in this life, they receive the fastest punishments. So, this is the first aspect, how the hellfire got ignited. This is the firewood. Zalimeen are the firewood. Okay, who is the igniting force? Who creates the spark? Who ignites the fire practically? Quran has announced that in the light of Holy Quran, we understand after mentioning Quran has said that Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum. Like I said in the beginning, there are several verses of Holy Quran that talk about that. One of the verses says, Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum naran wa quduha an-nas wal hijara. In another verse, Quran says, Fattaqu an-nar allati wa quduha an-nas wal hijara. U'iddat lil kafirin. Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum naran wa quduha an-nas wal hijara. U'iddat lil kafirin. And after mentioning who are the, after talking about that, Quran says in Surah Ali Imran, كَدَأْبِ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ. So our scholars say, our Mufassireen say, Quran is making clear, please pay attention, that all the Aimmatul Kufr are the igniting force of the hellfire. All those people who are the leaders of kufr, they are the ones by this behavior are causing the hellfire to get ignited. And this ignition of the hellfire will ignite up all the firewood, which is also humans. So the igniting force is also humans, the leaders of kufr, and the firewood is also humans and stones. وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. We find that the stones and humans. Well, scholars have said maybe it are the stones, maybe they are some other kinds of stones, or maybe they are idols. About the stone thing, they have mentioned both of the things. Maybe they are stones, or maybe they are the idols. Because in some verses of Holy Quran, we have learned that Allah has said, أُحْشُرُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا وَأَزْوَاجَهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا يَعْبُدُونَ. Gather all those who did zulm. Gather all those who did zulm. وَأَزْوَاجَهُمْ and their companions. وَمَا كَانُوا يَعْبُدُونَ and all what they used to worship. So all what they used to worship will be gathered. And the zalimeen with their companions. You know, in the time of Yahya Barmaki, somebody told him that in the town there is a person who makes pens, aklam, kalam. He carves those pens very nicely and makes very nice pens. So So Yahya Barmaki actually invited that guy into his palace and asked him to make two pens for him, gave him the wood to carve pens, and he did so. He carved very nice pens for him, this zalim ruler. Actually, every ruler is a zalim, because in Islam, no one has the right to rule other than the masoom imams or their Jami'u Shara'it deputies. Imam Mahdi al-Islam had 62... Imam Mahdi al-Islam up till today has 62 deputies, even counted and numbered. Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi, was the 61st. So, no one on earth, no one in the world has the right to rule at Islam in the terms of Islamic jurisprudence except the ma'soom imam or someone who is a jami'u shara'it mujtahid who fulfills the conditions mentioned in the hadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, who has been awarded this position in the light, in the glorious illuminous teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. So فَإِنِّي قَدْ جَعَلْتُهُ عَلَيْكُمْ حَاكِمًا فَإِنِّي قَدْ جَعَلْتُهُ عَلَيْكُمْ قَاضِيًا, like Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says in Maqbula Umar ibn Hanzala, that I have made him Hakim. Jami'u Shara'it Mujtahid has been made Hakim by Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. So Al-Ulama'u Hukamun ala nas, like Imam Ali alayhi salam has said, Al-Ulama'u Hukamun ala nas, scholars are the rulers of the people. But in our communities, some of them we consider scholars are the subordinates of the people. So, you know, I was talking to somebody, you know, in one of those cities, and I said to him, well, if a scholar is telling you what the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has said, on top of that, what else do you want? Don't you want to practice Islam? Don't you want to learn Islam? He's telling you the rulings of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. What else? So do you have another agenda on top of that? So actually, in the real sense, you are challenging the law of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. That's why on top of the law of the Prophet, on top of the Shariat of the Holy Prophet, you have another agenda. So that's why you want to make him subordinate and give him the list of the do's and do nots. What to say and what not. You're not supposed to say, Maulana, you don't have to talk about the Day of Quds anymore in our mosque. I said, is it a mosque of Allah or is it a mosque of you? I consider it to be a Baytullah. إِنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. All the mosques belong to Allah. They don't belong to us. If it's our place, then you can exercise your law. If it is yours, actually at Islam nothing is ours. Everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-mulku lillahi al-wahid al-qahhar. Nothing belongs to nobody. He is the absolute owner of everything and everything. So the problem arises that on top of the divine agenda, we have another agenda, but we still claim to be religious. So we find that in Islam, we learn that when Yahya, in the history, that when Yahya Barmaki, he received those two pens from that person, the person went away. As he was walking away from the palace, he went close to the door, he stopped and turned around and came back to Yahya Barmaki and said, can you give me those pens back please? And the ruler said, he handed over the pens, he just broke the heads of both of those two pens and gave it back into the hand of the ruler. He said, what have you done? What do you want? He said, when I went close to the door of your palace,
as if I heard a voice coming to me, to my conscience, and saying to me, and reading this verse of Holy Quran that I just recited in front of you, أُحْشُرُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا وَأَزْوَاجَهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا يَعْبُدُونَ. Gather all those who have done zulm and their companions and all what they used to worship. So what, I got afraid maybe when I have provided you these two pens, maybe what if you write something haram or about doing zulm on some person under your government? You write a statement with these two pens that I have made for you, and write some statement about doing zulm on any human under your government, and I would also be gathered on the day of judgment by Allah along with you in your group and thrown into the hellfire along with you. So I don't want to be among those. Our scholars say even if the slightest help in zulm is haram, إِذَا كَانَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ نَادَ مُنَادٍ أَيْنَ الظَّلَمَ وَأَعْوَانُ الظَّلَمَ وَمَنْ لَاقَ لَهُمْ دَوَاتًا وَرَبَطَ لَهُمْ كِيسًا. Where are the zalimeen? Prophet says, on the day of judgment, an announcer is gonna announce from God's behalf, where are the zalimeen? And all those who help them, even the slightest of the zulm that may have been done by them. In old days when a zalim in the palace used to award somebody for doing service to the zalim, what they used to do, they used to hand over bags of the gold coins or the bags of the silver coins. So there was somebody who was preparing the bag, there was somebody who was gathering those coins, putting the coins in the bag, there was somebody who was tying up the bag with a thread or rope or something before handing over to somebody. So even Prophet has mentioned, even somebody who ties up the knot on the bag for a zalim person. Look at the kind of example Prophet is giving to us. A zalim trying to hand over a bag of money to somebody, and somebody is tying up the knot with a thread on top of that bag before he hands over to a zalim. This guy who ties up the knot will also be gathered along with him. And in some hadith actually we learn that there would be a, you know, some sundukun min hadid. There would be a, you know, a case of steel, and everybody would be gathered, put into that steel case, all the zalimeen and all their helpers together, thrown into the hellfire after closing that steel box. So in zulm there is no exception. And if this policy has been adopted, it has lots of resistance in the society. Unfortunately. Because people are not ready to adopt this policy. Why do we find Imam Ali alayhi salam provided, you know, he had to face all that resistance from in the Islamic country and ummah of those days? Why? Was there some fault with Imam Ali alayhi salam? Was there some sort of shortfall in his morality, in his behavior, in his ethics? No. People were not prepared for his kind of justice. The true justice, the strictest rulings and principles of justice with Imam Ali never used to bend. Like, you know, George Jardak has written in his book, The Voice of Human Justice, that قُتِلَ لِشُدَّةِ عَدْلِهِ. Ali alayhi salam was killed because he was strict on his justice. Such a correct statement. Because when we find when Talha and Zubair came to demand something more, something extra than their share from the national exchequer, from the Baitul Mal, you know what Imam Ali said? Imam Ali said that وَاللَّهِ لَوْ أُعْطِيتُ الْأَقَالِيمَ السَّبْعَ بِمَا تَحْتَ أَفْلَاكِهَا عَلَىٰ أَنْ أَعْصِيَ اللَّهَ فِي نَمْلَةٍ أَسْلُبُهَا جَلْبَ شَعِيرَةٍ مَا فَعَلْتُ. I swear to God. In other words, if the whole universe is being awarded to me, and in lieu of that award, I am asked to do this much zulm. What zulm? Snatch away the skin of a grain of barley from the mouth of an ant.
the skin of a grain of barley from the mouth of an ant. Do this much little minute zulm, and we are going to award you the whole universe. Not $1 million, $1 billion, the whole universe. Ma fa'altu. I'm not going to do that. You find, now you see the justice of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Shahid Mutari has written in one of his books, all of his books are great. He has written that there would be, maybe there would be, you know, some of the Shias, if they see Imam Ali alayhi salam and his justice, they would deny. This is not the Ali we have been listening about so much. It would be hard for them to digest the justice of Imam Ali alayhi salam if just they could see that sort of justice. Because we are not prepared, we have zulm in our lives. We need extra favors. We are used to, we are habituated of those extra favors. It hurts our feelings. We are not prepared to embrace justice in the fullest form. Prophet sent Imam Ali alayhi salam to one of those battles to defend Islam. And when Imam Ali alayhi salam came back victorious, as usual, we find that before the army could enter the city of Medina, Imam Ali stopped the army outside the city of Medina and the outskirts and said, well, I'm going to go and inform the Holy Prophet first. And then, of course, he will come back. And then the whole army will go together. So he asked the people to stay outside, and everybody went, he went inside, and of course he met with the Holy Prophet, and when he came back, he found the army men had already divided their war booty among themselves. There were very nice gold stuff and jewelry that they had received from the war. The army men had already divided the war booty. In Islam, the Islamic ruling in our jurisprudence says that the war booty belongs to the army, the fighting army. They have the right to get it, get their share. But it has to be distributed by the wali of the time, by the hujjat of the time, by the imam of the time. And the imam of that time was the Holy Prophet. Prophet, you know, has triple positions in the eyes from given by God. First of all, he was the messenger and Khatamul Nabiyyin and Khatamul Mursaleen. Second of all, he was the Wali and Imam, sitting on the position of Walayat and Imamat as well. Prophet was Rasul plus the Imam. And third of all, Prophet was the Qazil Qubat, the supreme justice of the whole world. He had triple positions. So after the Holy Prophet, the two positions were transferred to Imam Ali alayhi salam. There is no Prophet after our Holy Prophet. He is the seal of the messengers. But the rest of the two positions, the Imamat and Walayat, is now transferred. Imam Ali is the Imam, and so on. 11 Imams, one after the other. And likewise, the position of Qadhi al-Qudat, Imam Ali, was the Supreme Chief Justice of, and everybody was supposed to refer to him in all the conflicts. So what I was saying is that Prophet was the Imam and Wali of the time. And it's the responsibility of the Wali of the time to supervise the distribution. So they did wrong. True that it belongs to them, but there is a channel of, there is a way of doing everything. You need to respect the law. It has to be distributed by the Wali and the Hujjat and the Imam. So Imam Ali got mad on them. And what he did, he took away all those jewelries from all the people of the army back. Ask them to put it back, take it off, put it back. In other words, they were shocked, they were angry on this strict behavior of Imam Ali alayhi salam, which was nothing but justice, pure justice. Our scholars say Imam Ali should better not be called Adil, he should better be called Adl. He is nothing but justice personified. So he is superior to be called Adil. He's superior than Adil. He's Adil actually. If you want to understand what is justice, you have to look at Imam Ali alayhi salam. Justice should be defined by looking at the behavior of Imam Ali. He was justice. He was not just an Adil. There are so many Adil people around in the world. But there are very, very, very few Imams who can be called Adil. Personalities who can be called Adil itself. So they came into the city of Medina and met the Holy Prophet and complained to the Prophet about the behavior of Imam Ali alayhi salam. How strict did he behave towards us? And Prophet said, La tashkuwanna Aliyan. You know, never, don't complain against Ali. Don't complain to me against Ali. Inna Aliyan la ukhayshin fi ratillah. Imam Ali alayhi salam, Ali is strict, severe when it comes to Allah. When it comes to the things regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other words, he's strict. Are we prepared for that strictness? And then we find some people come up and say, Imam Ali doesn't have the political, you know, basirat and awareness and insight. Na'udhu billah min zalik. It's not that he didn't have the political basirat. It's because he was just. He couldn't do what you are expecting him to do. So that's why some people came up and said, well, what if you, you know, what if you, so what if you give a little bit more, an extra from the Baitul Mal to these Talha and Zubair and these kind of people who are looking for money, dying for money. They can do whatever they can for the sake of grabbing power, power hungry and money loving people. Give them a little bit more than they share. What Imam Ali says, Nahjul Balagha is a living evidence for his justice. He said, لَوْ كَانَ الْمَالُ لِي لَسَوَّيْتُ بَيْنَهُمْ فَكَيْفَ وَإِنَّمَ الْمَالُ مَالُ اللَّهِ. If this money belonged to me, still I would have divided the money equally among all. What can I do when we find that the money doesn't even belong to me? It's God's money. Even if it was mine, I would have divided it equally. This adalat was something that was disturbing for the people, and that's why we find so much opposition for Imam Ali alayhi salam. Not because of his ethics or morals, there was nothing wrong in his ethics and morals. Are we prepared for this justice? So, all those zalimeen would be gathered together. We need to realize, Zulm is the fastest punishment, and they don't die away until they receive the similar sort of punishment, similar sort of zulm done to them like they did to others. Which is proven by the hadith of Imam Ali Islam, and it's proven by the experiences. Every, you know, other day we experience how it is done, what is being done to the puppets. Look at the puppets of Zalimeen. Look at the puppet Saddam Hussein. How far did he go? And what didn't he do? He did all what he could do against Islam. Such a tyrant, cruel, and terrorist person. But a very nice servant, very nice puppet. Was he spared? So, and the same is the situation of Shah. How far did he go? Was he spared? These are examples, brothers and sisters, which we need to realize, understand, open up our eyes, and stop working towards the direction of Zalimeen, to please the Zalimeen. Stop pleasing Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Because the hellfire is different than the fire of this world. No comparison. 70 times the fire, the hellfire was dipped into the oceans by the angel of Allah. And after dipping the hellfire's flame in 70 times into the oceans, then the fire was brought. Then the whatever remained, the such a cold flame of fire that remained, which is called the fire of this dunya. The fire of this dunya is the remainder of the hellfire that was dipped 70 times in the oceans. Can you compare? And that's about the intensity of the flame that we learned from Islam. Then, okay, there are several other aspects as well. The fire of the flame of the hellfire cannot be compared to the flame of this, the fires in this world, because the fires in this world have no akal and no intellect.
Whereas we find that the fire in the hellfire has intellect.
Can you compare?
And the reason I'm saying, because the fire on the day of judgment, the hellfire is going to talk to you. It's going to talk to the mu'mineen, you the mu'mineen.
We have hadith that as a mu'min crosses over the bridge, the sirat, well then we have two statements among our scholars, you know, إِمْ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا كَانَ عَلَى رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًّا.
Everybody's going to cross, you know, sirat has no exception. We have two tafsir among the scholars about, you know, the sirat and the passage on that bridge.
Some scholars in their tafsir have said, everybody, this is a bridge that passes over the hellfire. Some of the scholars say this is a bridge that passes through the hellfire. Even if you accept the second statement that it passes through the hellfire, there's nothing wrong about it. Some people got surprised. Well, when everybody's going to pass through the hellfire, of course we will be burnt. No. No need to worry about even if the bridge passes through the hellfire. Because we are here talking about a fire that has intellect. It's unlike the fire of dunya. And everybody is bound to cross over the sirat. All the mursaleen, the messengers, and all the prophets, and all the imams, and all the deputies of the prophets, and all the shuhada, and saliheen, and siddiqeen, and scholars, and ulama, and urafa, and all the nice and good-doing people, and the bad people as well. But then there are speeds, how would they cross, which is a different discussion I don't want to enter. My point I want to make is that the fire is not going to harm anybody, those who have iman. In fact, so no need to worry about how everybody is going to cross through the hellfire if the bridge crosses through it, because the hadith of the Prophet says, as a mu'min would want to pass over the bridge, the fire would address the mu'min, juzya mu'min fa inna nuraka atfa'a lahabi. Pass away, O mu'min, because your nur is now extinguishing my flames. Because the mu'min who believes in the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam and performs the duties that and obligations that we have towards this walayat, this iman on the walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam will cause the flame of the hellfire to get extinguished if the mu'min stays for a while. So the fire will address the mu'min, pass away quickly, otherwise my flames are going to be extinguished. The fire is going to talk. It's unlike the fire of this world, no comparison. So what I was telling you, that we have two things, the firewood are also humans, and the igniting spark and igniting force are also humans, and they are the a'immatul kufr, all those leaders of kufr. So Quran has warned us, لَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ. Don't get close. Don't get close to those, in other words, don't get close to those who did dhulm, because the fire is going to catch you. And Imam Ali alayhi salam has said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَمُصَاحَبَةُ الْأَشْرَارِ. Keep away from the companionship of ashrar, the evil people. Why? فَإِنَّهُمْ كَالنَّارِ. Because they are like fire. مُبَاشَرَتُهَا تُحْرِقْ. As soon as you get close to the fire, you will get burnt. So keep away from the companionship of those who are ashrar, those who are evil. So now we find that as the people, the fire got ignited by the leaders of kufr. Since the first leader of kufr started his kufr, the fire got ignited. And now as much as the leaders of kufr are increasing in this life of dunya, we are finding more and more igniting forces. And as much as the people are following the leaders of kufr, we find the firewood is increasing. That's the profile of the hellfire. Now as these two categories would enter into the hellfire, Quran also mentions their discussion. قَالَتْ أُولَاهُمْ قَالَتْ أُخْرَاهُمْ
لِأُولَاهُمْ. The second ones, the first, of course, the leaders are going to go into the fire first. They are the igniting forces. They would enter, they would go first, and then the followers. يَوْمَ نَدْعُوا كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ. So, يَقْدُمُ فِرْعَوْن is going to arrive on the day of judgment, يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَأَوْرَدَهُمُ النَّارِ وَبِئْسَ الْوِرْدُ الْمَوْرُودِ. On the day of judgment, Fir'aun is going to come, just an example given by the Holy Quran, Fir'aun is going to come, go ahead, and his followers are following him, and he is going to take his followers along with him. So don't follow any imam of batil, any imam of zulm, any imam of kufr, because everybody would be gathered along with his imam, and the imam is going to go first, and the rest are going to follow him. As they entered into the hellfire, they would start talking to each other. Quran narrated their conversation. Quran says the second group means the followers who are following the imams. The second group would say to the first group are the leaders, that رَبَّنَا هَؤُلَاءِ أَظَلُّونَ فَآتِهِمْ ضِعْفًا مِنَ آتِهِمْ ضِعْفًا. O our Lord, these are the people who actually misled us, so give them double azab. فَآتِهِمْ عَذَابًا ضِعْفًا مِنَ النَّارِ. Because these people actually were caused us to go to the hellfire. Now that we are in the hellfire, so they are the ones who caused us. So give them double azab. And then the Quran has said, لِكُلِّن ضِعْفٌ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Both have dual azab, both have double azab, but they don't know. But you don't know. Both of them have double. The leaders of kufr have double azab because they themselves were doing zulm, plus they led others to do zulm to follow them. And the leaders and the followers will have double azab because they did zulm on themselves, plus they followed the imam of zulm and imam of kufr. So this also entitles them to have the double azab. Both have the double azab. But they don't understand. Nobody would realize that people would only, why are they posing this question to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because they don't know what is going on with their leaders. لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ. Every man on the day of judgment would be busy enough to be careless to others. Busy enough to be careless to others. Our own issues and our own sins are enough for us to think. We would be busy in ourselves. How can we care about others? So, we find that both have the same azab, but they are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that make it double, although it's already double for both. And then the leaders have no conversation towards Allah. They won't say anything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they have a conversation with their followers. The leaders would say to their followers that there is no fadl. You have فَمَا كَانَ لَكُمْ عَلَيْنَا مِنْ فَضْل. You guys have no superiority. You are no better than us. Why did you follow us actually? There were a bunch of imams of haq available back then in the life of dunya. They were also inviting you. You had the opportunity and free will to follow them. Why did you follow us? So you have no superiority on us. You are no better than us. You followed us and you are equally evil like us, and you have no superiority over us. Which is so true. Even the Satan is going to say on the day of judgment that مَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانِ إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ. I have no control over you. I just invited you. Remember, the Satan can only invite you. It cannot never grab the hand of a person and take him to the hell. It can just invite you. So we are supposed to keep away from the zalimeen and zalim rulers.
And everybody who grabs power other than who is authorized is a zalim. And all the followers are also zalim, and both have double azab. But we find, brothers and sisters, that isn't it a pity that we find that when this caravan reached the bazaar of Kufa, the son of Habib ibn Mazahir, Qasim ibn al-Habib, as he heard the news that Imam Hussein got killed, my father got killed, so he came, heard the news and the caravan is now arriving into the city, so he came in order to find what happened to his father, where is his body, where is his head and all that. And as the riwayat says, as he came into the bazaar of Kufa, he found that the head of his father was hanging in the neck of one of those horses of the enemies. As Qasim ibn al-Habib looked at the head of his father Habib, he could not stand it. Qasim came forward, took out his sword, and said to that person, I cannot stand that the head of my father stays with the killer, stays with the murderers. I need to get the head of my father back. I need to take it back away from you. And he was given the head back. I would like to say to Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, what would have happened to you when you have been seeing the head of your great father, Imam Hussein, on the tip of the spear, all the way from Karbala to Kufa, and from Kufa to Sham, but there is nobody to come forward and say, and to defend the head of Imam Hussein, to take it away from the hands of the murderers? What would Imam Sajjad have felt? How would he feel? And the same head of Imam Hussein that was reciting the Quran in the bazaar of Kufa, that the Arqam has narrated that riwayat, that he saw the head of the Imam was reading the verse of Holy Quran from Surah Al-Kahf. Then Imam is reciting, but we find a time arrived that the same head of Imam Hussein, the same spear over which the head was fixed, it got fixed in the ground and it did not move forward. And Shimr came and started slashing Imam Sajjad alayhi salam with his slashes. And he said, I'm not gonna stop this slashing until the head of your father moves forward. So we find that Imam Sajjad actually now turned to his father. Baba, what is the matter? What is the matter? Please let me know. What's the matter? Why don't you move forward? And the voice came from the head of Imam Hussein. You know, my son, you know, my daughter Sakina has fell off from the back of a camel. She has fell off, you know, some time ago. And now Imam Sajjad requested Hazrat Zainab, please go and find out Sakina. Where is Sakina? Where is the beloved daughter of Imam Hussein? So we find, how did Hazrat Zainab got off from the back of the camel? I don't know, and I cannot comment, but I can guess that since the hands of Hazrat Zainab were tied already, how can, you know, when somebody falls down, you drop on your hands. But when Hazrat Zainab's hands are only tied up, God knows how Hazrat Zainab got down. How did she get down on the ground? But now Hazrat Zainab went towards the desert and calling Sakina. So where are you? Calling Sakina with her name. And all of a sudden, as she went forward, she found that there is a lady clad in black hijab, sitting somewhere in the middle of the desert, and she has Sakina in her lap. She is expressing her affection and love to Sakina, and expressing her love to Sakina. Hazrat Zainab moved forward. She never saw anybody expressing love to this caravan in such a way. Of course she was amazed, and she went forward and asked,
Who are you? Can you introduce yourself? How are you that you are doing such a love and affection towards us Ahlul Bayt? And we find the lady introduced herself, Zainab. You did not recognize me. I am your mother, Fatima al-Zahra. Why don't I show love to the children of my son Hussein?
ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما قائد المسلمين الولي الفقيه اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين يا حسين